Vanessa Souza. We had a great hour-long discussion. He's got a punch out real quick ahead of Stuart Rhodes coming up. He's got his book, The Dragon's Prophecy. I'm going to read it. Israel, The Dark Resurrection, The End of Days, The Avatar, The Return of the Ancients, The Future of America. Briefly, tell us about these, and then we're going to play the trailer after you leave. The Dragon's Prophecy, your new film.
Yeah, Alex, the books are actually the work of a guy named Jonathan Kahn, who is a biblical scholar. And so we made the film loosely based on his book. And the film is a way of connecting politics and history and the Bible. So some of the issues we've been talking about have deep roots. They go back to the ancient battles between the Israelites and the Philistines. There's also a hint of biblical prophecy in the film. So the website for the film, I want to mention that, it is thedragonsprophecyfilm.com. It's streaming on multiple platforms. You can order DVDs. It's like the number one DVD on Amazon.
So it's out right now. Well, I'm going to watch it tonight. Thedragonsprophecy.com film?
Thedragonsprophecyfilm.com. Yeah, watch it tonight. I'd love to hear what you think about it.
We'll come back soon. Let's talk about it after I've watched it. Vanessa Souza, one more time. Thedragonsprophecyfilm.com.
Thedragonsprophecyfilm.com.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. All right, here is the trailer for the film. We'll go to break and come back with the evil mastermind of J6, which, of course, he wasn't. No proof of any of that. Now we have the pipe bomber, the feds, all of it. It's all coming out. We're going to have Stuart Rhodes in studio after this quick break. But here is the trailer for The Dragon's Prophecy, Dinesh D'Souza's new hit film.
Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon. Revelation 12:3.
Once again, an armed attack in the Middle East, but this time it's different.
October 7th was the devil's holiday.
It's very hard to believe what happened, even though I was there and seeing with my own eyes and seeing them laughing and killing and having fun with it.
Because if you don't open the door, they are going to kill you and they are going to kill me, so please open the door.
So who are the Jews? Who are the Palestinians? And whose land is it really? Could the fate of the world, of humanity itself, be somehow tied to this place?
The nation of Israel is a resurrected nation. So what if there was going to be a resurrection of another people, an enemy people of Israel? The Bible speaks about this whole war as a dragon representing the enemy attacking a woman representing Israel.
The civilian deaths on both sides represent victories on the part of the dragon.
Hamas did everything within their ability to maximize the civilian casualty.
We came back to a land that was largely barren and empty, and we brought it back to life, and we're going to keep it.
The devil hates the Jewish people because they represent the existence of God.
Because without that Jewish foundation, there is no Christianity.
If we're approaching the end of time, God will reveal himself more and more dramatically.
Speak back through the stones.
The story that they've been telling is that Israel is a colonial project. The problem with that is the city of David. We are an inconvenient truth.
Are you aware of any significant archaeological finding that contradicts the Bible?
No.
God's word stands firm. Earth to God. The dragon will not prevail. Earth to
God. Your message here is become a dragon slayer.
Yes. Based on Jonathan Kahn's number one international bestseller, The Dragon's Prophecy. This film contains graphic violence of October 7th. In theaters only October 6th and October 8th. Streaming and DVD starting October 9th. The Dragon's Prophecy film.com.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th. 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale, so take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building, and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight!
You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
The year is 2025 and it's almost over. We're 290-something days into President Trump's return. I'm very thankful for how far we've come, but obviously we can critique and do better. Well, it comes out the pipe bomber influence, you know, Capitol Police, all that. Now the DOJ is all over. They're trying to shut that down. We got General Flynn on yesterday issuing a warning from all the intel he has. They're getting ready to launch domestic terror attacks with the left. You've got people being arrested, shooting at ICE just a few days ago. The left defending that. You've got the government shutdown beginning to get shut down itself. We have the huge Tucker Carlson, you know, free speech demonization operation. You were just listening to Dinesh D'Souza, who I know defended you when you were in prison.
Yes. So
I think he's a very fair guy. I respect him. My issue is criticize Israel all day. My concern is a lot of people that have just woken up, they're kind of babies to this. For whatever reason, they just know the Israel angle of the deep state, which is great. Spend your time on that. But anytime I cover China or fentanyl, or open borders, or Venezuela, they're like, oh, why are you diverting from this? They seem to think it's the only thing. And so it's great to criticize it, and I'm in Tucker's camp criticizing Israel, which he maybe spends 10% of his time on, but it becomes the central issue. So let's finish up with Israel, because you wanted to talk about that, then get into J6, get into the big picture, terror attacks, all of it. Stuart Rhodes, founder of Oath Keepers, Army paratrooper, former Ron Paul staffer. You've been on the air with us for many, many years. And, of course, former J6 political prisoner and the guy they said was the mastermind of it all, though we knew day one it was them, and now it's all proven.
Yeah, amen. Now, I'm on the side of free speech in the Constitution. That has to be our bedrock, and that's why I don't like the language coming out of Pam Bondi after Charlie Kirk's assassination, talking about, well, that's why we have to have, you know, hate speech laws in this country. The anti-Semitism is intolerable. I think people have a right to speak their minds, whether they're Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Dinesh D'Souza. Everybody has a right to free speech. So we can't let ourselves go down the road of the United Kingdom. And that's what I see coming out of people like Mark Levin. And I like Mark Levin when he was calling out the election of 2020 as unconstitutional and stolen. He was right on track. It's like I love Dinesh D'Souza because he was defending us, J6ers. He had the integrity to have me on his show while I was in prison.
Oh, that's me. I watch him on Fox, and 95% I agree. But then when he says, I'm going to beat you up, I'm going to get you, you're a Nazi, right. We're going to show that people are done with that. Like, doesn't he know the backlash he's going to get, which he's now gotten?
Right. So he's, and like Charlie Kirk said in one of his text messages that came out from Candace Owens, he said, hey, they're starting to act like this stereotype. They're being, if I'm being pressured to shut up, because they don't want me to say what I want to say about Israeli influence, AIPAC influence in the United States. He said, I'm not going to go along with that.
And now they're claiming those are fake texts, even though everything he says in those texts I found in speeches.
Right.
So they got that's not fake.
No.
I know Candace. She's not perfect. Nobody is. She didn't pull that out of her ass.
So they're trying to suppress this as badly as the left has done in the past. It's cancel culture.
Exactly. Everything they do is, you must do what we say, or we're going to censor you.
Right. So now we're seeing it from the right. And I worry about a sleight of hand, like you talked about. There could be either a real attack or a false flag attack on a synagogue, whether it's by a leftist or by a conservative or, you know, so-called Nazi. But either way, using that excuse to bring us, you know, the camel's nose under the tent of bringing us into a UK-style censorship against hate speech. That's what I worry is coming.
Hey, guys, search this. When I was with Tucker 8 months ago, the last interview before the last, in Florida, Tucker Carlson's worried about a false flag. Tucker Carlson is worried about a terror attack to repeal the First Amendment. And there's two clips. We talk about it quite a bit, but it's only a few minutes long. That was his biggest concern then and mine. And I see now this Tucker thing is they're teeing it up.
Yeah, they are teeing it up. And as a political prisoner who had my free speech used against me, it was entirely my speech alone that was used against me by the judge, including at my sentencing. I'm very sensitive to this camel's nose under the tent. And here it comes. And we will not accept that. Americans have to be firm on the First Amendment. Whether you like someone's speech or not, you have to stand on the bedrock. It's I will die for their right to say it.
Because it's not just their right. It's your right to hear what they're saying.
Sure. Well, it's the Constitution also. And
but you're censoring yourself when you censor somebody. Well, you're not getting to hear what they say.
Well, you're destroying your right to free speech. That's the problem.
No, exactly. You're not just getting rid of your right, though. I'm saying you're getting rid of your right to hear what other people are saying. See how that's double-edged?
Sure. So, but you know, that's a sleight of hand they use. Like, we don't like the Red-Green Alliance, and it's a legit problem, the alliance between radical Islam and the communists. And so they're out there, you know, pro-Hamas and all that. And so they say, well, we don't want that on our college campuses, so therefore... And the right will cheer it. A lot of right-wing Christians will cheer it because they're saying this is anti-Semitic. We have to support Israel because they're God's chosen people. And they will just jump right into that and be like, yes, we have to have hate crime legislation. And then, like the Patriot Act, that was brought in by a Republican, supposedly to get at you know, Islamicist, was swung immediately by Obama on us and then used against us by Biden again. So every time the right creates these new police powers in the name of fighting Islamic terrorism or communism,
turning against us.
That's the sleight of hand, right?
Well, Mark Levin is not stupid, so doesn't he know what he's doing will make Tucker only more popular?
Well, he might just be because he's Jewish, that's his hot button issue. And I went to law school, you know, Yale Law School, with a lot of dual citizenship Americans and Israelis. And that was, and so they would admit that, like, hey, I can be unbiased about all kinds of stuff, but not when it comes to Israel. They have an emotional connection to Israel, emotional commitment. No matter, even the atheists, a lot of them are communist atheists, but they were still Zionists and supported Israel. So that could be what it is. Just a blind spot in his mind. He can't wrap his
head. So they turn off thinking and go, let's attack one of the most beloved reporters and call him names and
right.
Join the left in censorship and make yourselves villains. Like you're idiots. I mean, it's just
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
because listen, I don't want blowing up Israel to be happening. Like. Napoleon said, don't interrupt your enemy when they're destroying themselves. Well, I mean,
making a mistake. So, yes, they're furthering the stereotype, just like Charlie Kirk was pointing out. They're acting like the stereotype that, you can't talk, but you can talk to anybody else in the world and criticize anyone else, but you can't touch that. That's the third rail. You can't discuss the Mossad's influence. I mean, Epstein was clearly a Mossad agent. I believe also working for the CIA. And that's just obvious. And so now we have our government under Trump covering for that and protecting pedophiles who were being entrapped and snared and manipulated by the Mossad and by the CIA through Epstein.
So we have to cover it, but it's a paradox and it still makes the main issue. In your hierarchy of issues, we're all interconnected, but not just for Americans. Globally, what's the top issue?
Taking down the evil, demonic pedophile elite. They should be taken down. That's why I've advocated from day one that President Trump should use that absolute power to declassify and expose, to take them down. And he must start with the Epstein list. That is a massive wedge inside of his own base. That's why they're going to lose the midterms.
I agree. That's the biggest hit on Trump.
Yeah. It was all the independents and all the walkaway Democrats who joined President Trump's campaign because he was anti-war and because he's anti-pedophile, anti-elite pedophile. You know, they got disgusted by their own party. I think Tulsi Gabbard's in that same camp. I think she wants to do the right thing. If he doesn't do the right thing, though, it's going to destroy the Republican Party.
Shifting gears to the border and all these attacks on ICE and, the shooting at them this weekend, and the left ever shows the attack on the cars or ramming them or attacking them. They just show them slamming people on the ground after their attack, and they arrest this Mexican national illegal trying to kill them. They're clearly escalating. I've got articles where Democrat leaders call for aggression. Democrats want scorched earth. What do you expect them to do now?
Yeah, I think they're going to go all the way. I think they're going to continue and escalate the violence against ICE agents. And in their heads, they think that they can probably coerce Trump into stopping any roundups of illegal aliens. So I think he needs to double down. He should invoke the Insurrection Act. I believe he should call us all up as the militia.
Let's explain what that does. And let's be clear. You're a police state expert. 15, 16 years ago, I'm like, I want Ron Paul on about police state. He would come on. He goes, well, Stuart Rhodes is our expert. You know, he's an expert on this as a lawyer. You would come on. That's how I met you. This is not a police state. Now, this is a constitutional duty. This is a national crisis, but they've billed it as that. You want to explain to people what these duties are and what the Insurrection Act is?
So from the very beginning of this country, Congress was empowered to provide for calling forth the militia in the Constitution for three purposes: one, to repel invasions; two, to suppress insurrections; and three, to execute the laws of the Union. And they did that in militia statutes from the very beginning, which delegated the authority to call forth the militia to the President of the United States. He also has an inherent authority as Commander-in-Chief under Article II. So
they're demonizing citizens under the sheriff,
right,
under the governor, which is constitutional. Now they're demonizing the 100% don't deny militia National Guard. They're saying that's illegitimate.
Right. So
a direct attack on the Constitution.
Right, because the founders' design was, we the people are the safest place to have the military power and the law enforcement power. That's why it's key to note that it says to execute the laws of the Union. So really, the FBI and DHS and DEA, all that should even exist. When the president wants to execute the laws of the Union and needs assistance, he should call on us, the people, as the militia. Because they didn't trust standing armies. Well, professional law enforcement agencies are just like a standing army.
And people think that's dumb. Green Berets going to third world country to train the locals. That's the most powerful thing.
Yeah, they were force multipliers. And you can do the exact same thing with all of us if we were organized and trained. And that's why I've been saying this, President Trump should do that. Right now, he should take advantage of this situation because it's a real threat and say, we are facing an invasion, we're facing an insurrection, and we have active
and exactly, because he set up a 700-person rapid reaction force out of Alabama for 40 million illegals. Now it's up to a couple thousand. That is beyond anemic. What would the constitutional directive be to stand up a domestic army under this emergency?
Call us all up as the militia. Under militia statutes from the founding, that's still to this day, 17 years, age 17 to 45, all able-bodied males are the militia. And for us veterans, it goes to age 64. He could call us all up right now.
Then they muster them. They have experts who pick out the best stuff.
He could
be auxiliary, who's going to be full-time. It's problem solved like that.
Exactly.
Just like Switzerland.
Sure. He could just order all of us come together in our counties and order the veterans to take command, to train the other men and organize them, and then stand to and wait for his instructions. That's what he should do. In fact,
and that's the biggest army on earth.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the safest army on earth, because you can't be terrorized or tyrannized with yourself. If you and your neighbors are the force in your community, how are they going to use that?
Well, that's like what happened in China with Tiananmen Square. They had to send troops from 800 miles away. But when the troops are from your community.
That's right. And that's why we see the elites of both, you know, the Uniparty in this country has let the militia institution die away. They don't want us, the people, empowered like that. They prefer to rely on professional law enforcement because they know they're afraid to lose their job, lose their pension, lose their ability to keep a roof over their family's heads. They know they could be coerced, as we saw during COVID-19, coerced into obeying all kinds of...
Well, it's not a litmus test, but here's my problem. Under a real globalist collapse, which they're planning, 3 million cops and 1 million troops isn't enough.
No, absolutely right. So and I believe it's coming. I think General Flynn is correct. I think Sarah Adams is correct. I mean, there's a bunch of people out there that are counterterrorism experts been saying they are going to launch October 7th style or Mumbai style terror attacks.
Oh, they didn't pre-deploy all this for no reason.
And Matt Bracken's been talking about that too, right? It's coming. So when it comes, and they'll use, and China, of course, is another enemy of ours, they'll use their drug cartel proxies, whether it's Trendyahwa, whether it's MS-13, and all the other affiliated
Latin
gangs.
Kings.
Latin Kings. Yeah, you know, Latin Kings now issuing shoot-on-site orders against the ICE. So Trump, what President Trump should do is, like I said, call us all up and say, given this threat that we know they're going to, you know, you've got Al-Qaeda bragging about October 7th style attacks in the United States coming up. In light of that, bring us all out as the militia, call us into service and have us organize at the county level in each state.
Well, that's the thing. The left always tells you what they're scared of. Trump stands up a few thousand troops. If a city's already burning, they go martial law. That's totally constitutional.
Yeah, it's not martial law.
That would do nothing. But imagine if he stood up the militia, they would just shut down because they would know it's done.
Well, I mean, they might try to go full bore. And so he's a dictator. But then we get the fight over with at that point.
But they've already said that. But that's the plan. They're going to create the civil war and hope he's not ready. We have to get ready before.
Yes.
Here's the thing, guys. I'm anti-police state. They initiated this. Abraham Lincoln wouldn't be putting up with this.
Well, here's one way to look at
this. What would Abraham Lincoln do at this point?
Well, he's a bad example because he violated the Constitution.
No, I understand that, right? But, you know.
But no, he called up the militia. That's what he did. He called all the Northern Army was created out of the militias in the North. But that's back when they actually had militias. Now we only have the National Guard, which is the select militia, very small fraction of the American people. I'm just saying President Trump has the authority to call up not just them. They are
part of the
militia.
What is the model then?
What's the model?
Oh, it's the Constitution, but in modern parlance, how would he sell it?
Well, he would say that we have to, the American people must prepare for what we know are coming in terror attacks. I want the veterans, I mean, everyone loves veterans, right? At least they claim to. Now, today's Veterans Day, he should say, we're going to call up the veterans in this country to stand up and be prepared to defend their communities against terrorism. Who can argue with that? You know? So whether it's terrorism in the form of Islamic terrorists, which is very likely, but also who knows how many Chinese-aged males are here from China. It could be they're all proxies for China.
I mean, literally, we have hundreds of videos of they're all the same backpack, same boots.
Yeah.
You could tell they're officer class. They're not the recruits. They got Chinese officers flooding in.
Yeah, I would say.
And they spot checked some they were.
I think they're Chinese special warfare officers. Yeah, absolutely. So they're here for a reason. So you should say this is the threat. And at least half the country would be on his side. The other half, it was screaming yell, but it's like, just do what you got to do. And once we're organized in our counties, they can't unring that bell. Because even if they order us to some judge passes some edict that, you know, we have to disband or some nonsense.
Well, here's the problem with war. You know this. We need to hit them first before they launch whatever they got planned. They caught the Chi-Coms, the telecom takeover grid in New York. And you got all these videos of military age men shot, you know. Yeah, you know, 30, like you said, officer class coming in. They got something nasty planned. You know, Flynn, every time he says something, it comes out 6 months later. He's like, I guarantee you, he's getting all the intel.
Right.
And I'm telling you, they're planning mass asymmetrical attacks.
And it's not the only one saying that.
I've been interviewing him for a decade. He's never talked like that.
Right. And he's not the only one saying that. Like I said, Sarah Adams, you can call over the web. You can go on Sean Ryan's podcast and find multiple interviews he's done with people talking about this threat. It's coming. It's going to happen.
And it's not one big 9/11, it's thousands of attacks.
So what I worry about is people like Peter Thiel, the technocrats, they would want to take that chaos, and their answer would be Terminator land. Well, okay, only to be safe now is we need biometric ID, we need, you know, digital ID, and biometric tracking, gait recognition, facial recognition, absolutely everywhere, like Minority Report. That's your only way to be safe. And a lot of conservatives, if they allowed Islamic attacks like that, and we were not organized to defend our communities, a lot of conservatives would cheer for it, just like they did post 9/11. The exact same play.
Well, just like we have Trump meeting with the former head of Al-Qaeda at the White House, and now we're told to forget about that. And I get Trump didn't do the overthrow of Syria. I get they want a stabilization force, but how do you tie that into all this?
Well, I mean, it's a legit threat. The Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated our politics. So the United States, in many ways, has been played and infiltrated by multiple foreign entities. You know, China for sure, Muslim Brotherhood, and all their radical, and that's a legit threat. I think Ayaan Hirsch Ali has been correct about that. She said the true nature of Islam is to create a caliphate worldwide. It's a totalitarian political system, not just a religion. So I think she's correct
about
that.
That's what the Quran says is her plan. I mean,
pardon?
Koran says that's
yeah,
the plan.
Exactly. And John Guandolo has been worrying about this. They're correct about that. Now, on the libertarian side, like Ron Paul, my old boss, they'd say, well, but a lot of that is because of our foreign policy. I think that's also accurate. Our foreign policy in the Middle East is stabilized.
Well, sure, we went and blew them up to bring them here.
Right.
We're told we're fighting them over there. No, we're blowing them up to bring them over here.
Right. So all the destabilization in the Middle East has caused a dysphoria into the West, into Europe, into the United States by Islam. And that's by design by the world elites, of course.
Of course.
They're using them as force multipliers. So you can look at the Islamists as being sincere jihadists, but also being manipulated by the world elite to destabilize and destroy the West.
No, but I 100% agree. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
We got our balls grew up. We get put in scanners because of a terror attack where the so-called pilots were really CIA Mossad operatives. That all came out. Mainstream news, folks. The jets were remote-controlled. And now here we are for another big attack. They're getting ready to attack us again, this time with real fighters. And at the end of it, we're all under drone total surveillance once we, quote, beat the Islamic attack. But the real attack is letting them do this to set us up for the police state.
Right. That's why the answer has to be always going back to the founders' design of the Constitution. That's why you got to go back to the militia. And, you know,
yeah, combat robots don't protect us.
We do.
We don't trust them. We want the militia.
And frankly, if we're going to have...
It's just like concealed carry, which isn't even constitutional, but people go get it. They never commit crime. They're following the system. That's a microcosm of people that go into the system, don't commit crime. But under the Constitution, we create militias. They're there, and it's like a civil defense for fires, everything. Shouldn't it be like fire departments volunteer? All of it is all integrated into one deal?
Well, half the fire departments in the United States are volunteer. That's like your last residue of the militia concept.
That's what I meant, though. It should be that model.
Yeah, well, the militia should be available for all
those. Like the sheriff's department's going into a hostile environment or a gang shooting or a or a home invasion or a domestic dispute, and there's not enough deputies, and they just hit a button, and there's five people right in the, 2 miles from there that are trained and ready. They just show up as backup.
Yeah, exactly
right. Sheriffs would welcome that.
And we've done that. I mean, Sheriff Arpaio in Maricopa County, Arizona, had a 3,000-man posse at one time. That's a perfect model for what can be done. So he had the availability.
And crime went to almost zero.
Right, because he had a lot of power. And also, when he was standing down the
Obama. That scared the feds.
It did. Sure, it's a lot tougher to take Sheriff Arpaio down if you're Obama, for example, when he's got a 3,000-man posse around him. So that's the model all sheriffs should be doing. They're not, though. That's the problem, is that our governors have dropped the ball and not organized militias. Our sheriffs have not organized posse. And so,
which is really just the human intelligence element.
Well, it's human intelligence, but also, like you said, a response for natural disasters. I mean, we did 14 major hurricane relief missions with Oath Keepers, and we saw over and over again that the current serving law enforcement and fire department and search and rescue are always overwhelmed after a major
disaster. And plus, in Austin, they wouldn't send them out. They're politically correct.
Right. In the Hill Country, right? In the Hill Country flood.
So, again, right. That's why you checkmate that.
Yeah. So the local, and you saw that with the Hill Country, the best way to provide security in our country for disaster relief and also for man-made disasters, whether it's riots or insurrections or invasions, is us, the people, designed by the founders to be the militia. That was their ideal. So that's what we have to get back to. And there's no other way around it. You're not going to be secure or safe without that. You're going to be free or safe without it. So we have to reinvigorate it. Now, will President Trump do it? I hope so. The trajectory right now, though, of the Trump administration is not good. I don't see them doing what's necessary.
Well, let's talk about that. And it's very fashionable to bash Trump right now as the media picks it up. And they twist what I say. But when we do it, seriously, it's about getting him a course correction. But, yeah, he's getting a lot of heat from MTG, Laura Ingraham, everybody right now. And he should know that that's a serious situation. Why do you think it's happening?
Well, he's being led off course. I think they're correct in their criticisms. You know, I don't like what I see coming out. Like the other night when we were talking, I talked about how, you should be firing Kash Patel and Bongino and Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche. This first thing you should do is fire those four people, because they are not going after, like Dinesh D'Souza said, the most important thing, and you agreed, the most important thing is going after the criminals inside the Biden administration who pulled a coup. They pulled a coup in 2020 and 2021, and they went after their political opponents like crazy.
I love how blind Todd Blanche is, because in the last 48 hours, I'm not going to say it, but he didn't know the heat he would get saying, I'm fringe, don't defend Alex Jones from deep state attacks. He told ABC News that, all of them. And then now they went, let's meet. Let's be nice.
No, he needs to be rude about it.
And it's like, you pat me on the head. And I go, he stabs me and then wants to, while I'm sinking under the ocean, pat me on the head. It's just like, what do they think we're idiots?
I don't give a quarter to anyone like that. He needs to be purged out and fired. And I say,
I love how he assaults me and everybody, and then we attack, and now he's freaking out. It's like, dude, you're the fringe. This is a war, dude. It's so retarded.
Right.
Plus, I put no faith in that. Like, what, you want to, you want to meet with me? What are we supposed to talk about?
No, he wants to try to co-opt you. So, you can't do that, right? You're not going to meet with him. Todd Blanche?
Well, I met with a bunch of them. But
Todd Blanche?
Yeah, I met with a bunch of them over the years, but I didn't ever get what they want.
I think you should be fired, period.
Well, it's probably not worth my trip. I probably won't do it. I shouldn't even say this. In fact, I was joking, folks. Don't worry about it. The point is, they're on the rocks.
Well, I hope so.
But I love how he attacked me publicly and thought that would be good for him. Like, dude, you're in your little lawyer Democrat bubble. Your world's over, dude. It's over. You're the dinosaur. You're Tyrannosaurus Rex. You're in a fossil find.
I'm cutting this important announcement on Veterans Day 2025. November 11th. That means you've got 48 hours to take advantage of this unprecedented sale of ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, both the capsules and the liquid tincture. Now listen to me. You can buy one bottle of either and get another free. That's massive right now. And on top of it, every order, not just methylene blue, gets a free custom high-quality ball cap of your selection and choosing at thealexjonesstore.com. So take action. This is only for 2 days. I was about to end the methylene blue ad today because we have the free baseball cap. We've done that before, and it's a huge success. People love it, and that's a big freebie. But it was Veterans Day, and I thought, why am I just cutting an ad about the ball cap? Why don't we make it about health and energizing our lives, not just have a nice hat and spread the word and meet a lot of people. That's fun as well and very informative. So this is a true 360 win. I want to thank all of America's veterans of wars and conflicts, and I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for their support and their word of mouth in the info war, because we are all veterans of the fight against the globalist, their COVID attack, the transgenderism, the open borders, the leftist, out-of-control tyrants. And we're winning major battles, but we have not won the war yet. We have turned the tide thanks to all of you. So I want to thank you on this Veterans Day for the next 48 hours for your support. And I want to ask those of you that have been on the fence and never tried Methylene Blue, what do you got to lose? You know InfoWars is doing a great job and changing the world. You know we're under globalist attack, so you're supporting the broadcast. You can't lose there, but when you get this incredible product, it will change your life. It does incredible things. It's so good for you. And the ball caps are awesome as well. So this is a first-time sale like it. Buy one, get one free Methylene Blue and a free ball cap. 48 hours until this Thursday at midnight, Central Time, at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, barring a miracle, just read the news. Corporate media is actually accurate about that. They got the state receiver in here. We've exhausted basically all of our fight. We never gave up. They can close us down, you know, anytime in the next month or so, but it looks like around January 1st is what the receiver from the state court is saying. But that's okay. A website, a studio. The info war belongs to all of us that have stood up and fought the globalists. We're going to continue on. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by our sponsor, Big League. That hadn't just kept InfoWars afloat, thanks to your support. You kept us afloat through it, but has helped build the Alex Jones Network that they own. We got the backup studio. Bigger studios are being built, just as good as these, maybe even better, thanks to all your support. This is the operation you built. The InfoWar has just gotten started. It's not a website. It's not a building. It is the people who understand there's a war on for their mind, taking their country and their planet back from the transhumanist, satanic New World Order death cult. So take action now and let the tyrants and censors know you will never silence not just the people of the United States, but the people of this planet that are God-fearing and who have awoken to the tyrants and who are taking action. From the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, I salute all you and ask you now to count the cost and redouble your efforts in the fight by supporting the tip of the spear, the InfoWar, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
Just talking last week about the Civil War, and I haven't read this text he sent me, but I think it's really powerful. So I told him, I said, be careful, and I'm going to pull the quote up in a minute, but it was powerful. Bottom line, we have the initiative. We're winning. We were talking about Trump during the break, too. It's the last person he talked to. He has good instincts. He's a good guy. He's 79. He's overwhelmed, and I'm not even just defending him. This is the reality. And so I know he's called in Todd Blanche and Pam Bondi when they finally indicted Comey and others, Letitia James and the famous neocon, but it's not enough. So, the big deal is agitate, because Trump will listen to something he sees on air or a clip he's given more than something he even sees on Fox News. So what's your message to President Trump, Stuart Rhodes?
To do what he was saved in Butler to do. God saved him from being assassinated for a purpose. It's to take down the deep state. And that's the only way to actually save this republic. Everything else that he's being distracted with is nothing near important as that. That's why he can't just be going after the people that, I believe what's happening with Todd Blanche and Pam Bondi is they're placating him by going after the ones involved in the 2016 Crossfire Hurricane. That's what they're stopping, though. They don't want the actual deep state attacked. So President Trump needs to realize he's being played again by the Attorney General, just like the first time around with Bill Barr. And he needs to just face the music. And the reality is he's being misled into not taking the action that will actually save this country, and instead being focused on other things to distract him and run the clock out. And so I would encourage him to empower Tulsi Gabbard to continue to look into foreign involvement in Charlie Kirk's assassination. I think she's on the right track. And he should further go back to the idea of declassification to expose all of them. And he has to revisit the Epstein situation, however screwed up it might be and tainted it might be by bad guys inside CIA. He should still go down that rabbit hole, because that's what his base expects. And we know there's smoke, there's fire. He was part of an Assad CIA operation to blackmail elites and control them. That's how they do it. It's how they've always done it. So he needs to go after the heart of the deep state. And he's probably being told, hey, if you do that, it'll crash our economy. It'll destroy faith in our institutions and take down governments all over the world, because all those elites are being blacked by Epstein also. Well, I say, well, if that's what it takes to defeat the deep state and defeat these demonic pedophiles at the top, then do it. Let's get it over with now while you're still commander in chief. I said this back in his first term. If there's going to be a fight, I believe there is in this country, get it done while you're commander in chief, and let's get it over with.
And by the way, you predicted from prison before they banned you. We don't air for like a year on my show. You said he will be reelected. You predicted it all. We had to find that interview. That was powerful.
Yeah, well, I knew he was going to be indicted, because I could tell what the persecutions of us was all set.
No, but you predicted he would then win. We would retake the country.
Wow, we certainly had faith and hope. Yes.
I don't think you remember. You said he's going to be indicted just like me. They're going to try to put him in prison. It's going to backfire. America's going to rally, and he will be reelected. Then that's a real fight. You don't remember that?
No, I really don't. But
you did say it.
I'll take it.
Well, let me tell the archivist. Tell the archivist, find the interview. When had you been in jail? Like three, four months. You remember you came on, you got banned for a while?
Right, right.
Yeah, came on in Florida or something? Where were you?
Yeah, no, I was in Virginia.
All right.
Alexandria, Virginia.
But okay, well, when was the interview you did, then they banned you from doing interviews?
I think it was with Harrison on American Journal.
You were with me, too.
Was it? Okay, yeah.
I'm trying to give the archivist the thing. Sure. You literally, you don't remember this?
No, I really don't. Yeah.
No, you said we will.
Okay.
He will be indicted. It's the same plan.
I knew that was going to happen.
They will be defeated. He'll be reelected.
Right. You
remember all this?
Well, I always held faith that what man means for evil, God will use for good, just as a story of Joseph. And that's what's happened. I believe that that's played out. So long as it's like the founders had a saying, you know, duty is ours, results are God's. So long as we do our duty, that's when we rely on divine providence for the outcome. But we have to.
By the way, I've experienced that over and over again. I always just, it was the right thing to do. I don't give up. But every time I go through some horrible thing, major doors open.
Yes. And like right now with Veterans Day, we need to remind ourselves and renew our commitment to being as resolute as they were. You know, all the men that died throughout our history, serving our country, remember them today and recommit to preserving what they fought for. Otherwise, it's for nothing.
Well, look at Ticonderoga enough. You know, right. Hauling those giant guns they captured.
Yeah, that's right.
All those miles, no shoes, a trail of blood.
Yep.
People don't do that today.
Well, we have. I mean, every generation in this country has fought. A lot of good men that are alive today fought hard in Iraq and Afghanistan. Of course, they came home, you know, dispirited about what they were actually doing over there and why.
I'm not lessening them, but reading about the Revolutionary War, there was some spectacular
stuff. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Henry Knox, that was the brilliant leader that did that. He wasn't even a military veteran. Just a really smart bookseller that realized he taught himself how to use artillery and realized the utility of those guns and like you said, drug them.
Biggest guns in North America. Well, you know Ticonderoga. Tell the story there.
Yeah, so he went there and in the middle of the winter drug those guns to Dorchester Heights above Boston, and that's what drove General Gage out of Boston. He could no longer occupy the harbor. He'd have all his ships shot to hell by those massive cannon. So it was a brilliant move. And that was a guy who was not a military veteran, but was a really sharp, loved his books and did his own research on artillery. So, and in fact, a lot of General Washington's best commanders, Nathanael Greene's another one, were not prior service. So the point
he was a Quaker,
right? But he was just another smart guy. Him and Knox would sit together and self study. And so, message to all of
the Quakers were anti-war, but they got involved in this war.
That's right. So, but whether you're a veteran or not, you're an American. And all the men out there, take responsibility for being the protector of your family and your community and your nation. And let your fear go. You can't be dominated by fear. As long as we're fearless.
And like a breed of dog, though, as Americans, we are those people. We have to step into that.
Yeah, and it's still there. It's still in your blood. It's still in your history. So we should not say, oh, the modern Americans are too soft. That's what the Japanese thought, right, before they attacked us. They thought America, look at the Roaring Twenties and decadence in the United States. They thought they're soft. They'll never do anything. Let's go ahead and you know, attack Pearl Harbor and take all of Asia. And they found out very quickly they were wrong about the American character. So the same is true for today. Be careful about falling in for the trap of demonizing your own people.
What about the left? 40-plus days of shutdown. Now beginning to end, it'll take weeks to unwind it. Polls show 80-plus percent blame them, which they are behind it. What makes them do that? Like, they're just...
Well, it's scorched earth. For them, it's anything it takes to gain power or to discredit their enemies. And, you know, they've lost sight of what it means to be an American. That's what I believe. Like, most of them hate this country.
Well, I think Hajime Jeffries didn't lose sight.
I just met a lady in Chicago who was
my question, though. How do they find leftists? What's wrong with them?
Well, they're indoctrinated in college campuses. And then the teachers they go to college to become a teacher. They're indoctrinated in Marxism to hate their own country and hate themselves. And then they go on to teach that in high schools and down to the elementary school level. All the kids are being indoctrinated. So a lady I just met in Chicago just became a citizen. She's from Mexico, came the legal route, became a citizen, was sworn in. The judge presiding over her swearing-in ceremony said, "I don't understand why anyone would want to be a citizen of this horrible country." That's what the liberal judge presiding over the swearing-in ceremony for new citizens said. That's the mindset of liberals. We don't understand why you want to even be here. This country's horrible. The immigrants are like, "Hey, we love this country. We want to become Americans because America's a wonderful country." But the left here, they've been indoctrinated by the professors. You know, the communists did the long march, the institutions, and took over education. That's why I believe everyone should pull all the kids out of public school. It's you can't repair that anymore.
And the private schools have been infiltrated.
Yeah, and the Christian schools and churches, yeah. It's infiltration across our entire society. Now, the good news is a lot of people have seen it and see it for what it is, and so the more they lie and the more they attack us, the less effect it has. That's the good thing. So the red pill is very real, but the problem is now people are saying, okay, now we see what's being done, but what are we going to do about it? That's where we have to push President Trump to do what he
does. I agree. I think criticism of Trump when he's wrong is great, but people also can't have instant gratification. They have to celebrate the victories we've had. How do you make that split between that?
Well, I would say, hey, we applaud him for things he's done right, but we have to focus, you know, I would say positive pressure. Like, I believe we should have a massive rally in D.C. outside the White House calling on him to fire Bongino and Patel, Bondi and Blanche as job one. Fire them and put somebody in there who will actually take the fight to the bad guys. That bring the focus back to...
Well, I know this. Unless they kill Trump, which I pray doesn't happen, he's not going to put up with them much longer. I know behind the scenes and publicly, he's told them, we have all this evidence. Tulsi Gabbard's delivered all the proof. He's like, you do it or you're fired. And they sit there and glaze him and do all this, but...
Yeah, well, maybe make it characterize it as we're supporting him in doing that. We've heard that you are... going to drop the hammer on them. We encourage you to do that. We want you to do it. Your base wants you to do it.
Who does he replace them with?
Good question. I mean, hey, Carl Serafin might be a good guy for the FBI. I'll take a whistleblower who got kicked out because he wouldn't go along with their nonsense. I'll take that guy as an FBI, you know, director. Or someone like General Flynn, like you were talking about. You know, bring somebody in who can do it, has the skill set to do it, but also is committed. That's what he needs.
Yeah, well, I asked Flynn that question. He's like, well, they'll try to block my confirmation. You force it through, or who Flynn recommends. And, you know, at the same time, I think you put a Ed Martin.
Do a recess appointment.
You got the Missouri AG. I know that Ken Paxton is running for Senate, but he would be good.
Yeah. I mean, do a recess appointment. Wait till the Congress is out of session, do a recess appointment, and just rinse, repeat. You know, circumvent Congress. And the problem we have in our country right now, and this is also partly part of Trump.
Yeah, even if they deny the confirmation, you can still put them in as an attorney, and they're the shadow boss of the person.
You can do a recess appointment while Congress is out. But Congress is not in session. The president has the power to do recess appointments.
But he can also put people in he wants that are the, quote, consultant to whoever we get through.
And he should. Like he's talking about putting the – if we get the attorney general's name from which state was that?
Missouri, right. Texas, yeah.
Putting him in as assistant to the director, right.
Well, he's already the deputy head of the FBI to replace Patel.
Right.
So they've already got him ready.
So make him a recess appointment. That's what I'm saying. Whoever he's going to pick, wait till Congress is out of session and do the appointment at that time.
So the time we have left, other big picture, what else is on your radar?
Well, I'm relaunching Oath Keepers because I believe our mission of devotion to the Constitution is critical. We've gotten arrows from the very beginning from the bad guys because of a very good reason. They fear the message. If we get enough people to understand the responsibility under their oath to defend the Constitution across the spectrum in our government, especially in the military and police, we win. The bad guys lose, and they know that. It's why they attacked us and demonized us from the very beginning. Still an important mission. And also I see what's going on with Antifa in the streets. It's an exact replay.
Attacking last night.
Just like in 2017.
TV USA.
Right. So we wound up in Berkeley twice. We saw what's going on in Berkeley, people being attacked in the streets. And we went down there along with the Proud Boys and Three Percenters and other groups came together. And we protected successfully two of them.
And they were so scared of that.
Right. And they couldn't shut us down. We were able to successfully hold free speech events in Martin Luther King Park, downtown Berkeley, because we were there. And that's what we'll have to do again. So why don't we rebuild it? Once we have enough manpower to do it, we'll do the same thing again. Because I consider it my oath responsibility to protect Americans' free speech.
So you were accused, and in your whole trial, people don't know any evidence of anything, literally nothing.
Nothing.
A mastermind of J6. I was there planning what if Antifa attacks the day before. I was supposed to lead the Trump march, and we had a whole stage set up. We were all set up. We know that now. But what do you make of the pipe bomber being Capitol Police, CIA, now they're trying to suppress it? How bizarre is it to be blamed as being the mastermind? We now have Pelosi admitting it, all of them. I mean, this is wild.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see the truth coming out, and I feel vindicated. But it's not at all a surprise to any of us J6ers. We knew that from the very beginning. But it's important that the American people now are now seeing it. The more the American people will now know the truth. It's kind of hard to shut the truth away now. So
as long as we're talking about J6, we don't know. You're the supposed mastermind. I was there, blamed for it. They tried to put me in prison, too. I mean, it's not like we're just up here talking. We were there.
Right. In all of our trials, every one of us was called the mastermind. It was really weird. So in the Proud Boys trial, like for Joe Biggs, for example, oh, he's the mastermind. Well, no, Enrique Tarrio is the mastermind. I'm the mastermind. Everyone's trial, they got, you know, elevated into some kind of position as being a mastermind. That's just part of their demonization for that jury, for that person. Then they get a conviction and say, see, there really was a conspiracy. Or they coerce a guy, like President Trump said himself. It's a nasty system. A man could be, you know, threatened with 30 years in prison, take a deal. And every time they pled out to something, they'd say, see, another one's pled guilty. So it was all about creating the false narrative of J6 was an insurrection. And then President Trump.
And you're in jail in solitary confinement with no money. And you didn't, you know, plead guilty. But other people did because they could. Like Owen went to jail. He was with me saying, don't go in the building. But after $500,000, he just said, okay, I'll plead guilty.
And I don't fault the guys that pled guilty to something like that. The guys who pled guilty to seditious conspiracy, I consider traitors because that helped the false narrative.
Yeah, they went with the thing that was a conspiracy.
They went right with the big lie.
Didn't you? I know Roger got approached and others that if you just turn against them and leave you alone. Did they ever come to you and say that?
Not directly. They sent us a nasty letter saying you're all going to be, you know, you're charged with seditious conspiracy. We're going to ask the judge for life in prison. And if you want to make a deal, you have like 2 weeks or whatever it was. That was their only real offer. But I told my lawyers, tell them to stuff it. I threw that thing in the trash. I threw it down my toilet. So, because I'm not for sale. But there were some people who took the deal and they pled guilty to seditious conspiracy. They didn't see one day in prison.
But that's why it's so great that you're out now. Isn't it surreal?
It is. And I'm grateful to President Trump for setting us free on inauguration night. We still deserve pardons. There's still 12 of us left. I believe 8 of us are veterans.
Yeah, why'd they commute your sentences instead of pardons?
My guess is that someone in President Trump's circles is a bad actor that wants the false narrative.
I'm told it's Todd Blanche.
Might be. And he wants the false narrative that really was something there. And they can say, and they are saying it now, you can go find it online, oh, that's why they weren't pardoned, because they really were involved in a plot. I think they want the false narrative to live on.
Plot. We're having dinner the night before, the day before, like, what if Antifa attacks? What do we do? Well, we don't fight. We defend the police and retreat. We're in these meetings.
Yeah.
And then it's like literally you're planning to storm the Capitol.
Yeah, the only focus was on Antifa. That's why everyone was wearing, you know, gloves and goggles and helmets was because of Antifa. That's it. But they completely ignore that and pretend like it was all about attacking the Capitol. It's just complete false narrative.
Well, I love how we got let into it because, you know, like they brought me to lead the march. The march is already going. They set us up.
Well, sure. They saw the pattern in November and December. We all marched from down like Freedom Plaza or down by the White
House. We had two marches with 500,000 people.
Right. All the way up to the Capitol for additional events, permitted events all around the Capitol, all planned. They saw that pattern on J6, exact same thing.
I did a Georgia march. Same.
Right. Same thing. So they saw the pattern.
And my specialty is not storming Capitol buildings.
Right. So they took advantage of what they knew was going to happen. They knew we were going to march from President Trump's event down at the Ellipse up to the Capitol for additional permitted events already pre-planned around the Capitol, as we had done in November.
Which he said, march peacefully.
Right. And he was just recognizing what was already going to be going on. He didn't give us an order that, you know, out of the blue. It's like, oh, I know you're going to be going to the Capitol.
No, I said weeks before, we're going to lead a march, I'm told.
Right. So, and that's within your right. Every man, every woman, man and woman in D.C. that day had a right to peaceably assemble and petition government for redress of grievance, a constitutional protected right of free speech and assembly and association. And we were there to protest against a legitimately coup and fraudulent election, fraudulent, illegal, and unconstitutional. So that's why we were there, and we were right to be there. So I've had people attack me. It's like, well, you say you don't have any regrets. I don't regret being there because we had a right to be there. I don't regret providing security for people that were there. We had a righteous mission to protect people from Antifa. I regret that anyone went inside. If I could go back, I'd be like, hey, don't go, you know, make sure no one goes inside, because that's their play. That's the only thing I regret, though. Of course, I regret the people that were murdered by the federal government, like Ashley Babbitt and Roseanne Boylan, and the other two gentlemen, I believe, were caused, you know.
Yeah, and they're not going to be able, they're trying to suppress this pipe bomber thing. It's not going to happen. What happens when that comes out?
Well, when that comes out, what I expect to have happen, I think Kash Patel, because he's been compromised, to me it's obvious now, I think he's going to spin that and try to say, oh, they got the wrong person. Or a fallback would be, well, that was some kind of an anti-terrorism drill. They were running a drill. It was a fake bomb. It wasn't real. It had nothing to do with J6, just a drill they were running that night. That's what I think they're going to probably do, some kind of excuse like that, try to cover it up. That's what I expect to see Kash Patel do, which is why President Trump must fire him.
What about a new viral release? We've got Fauci and all of them saying, don't worry, a new one's coming. I'm really worried about them releasing a new virus.
Well, sure. I mean, but they played that before. I think that's going to have less impact now. People that got the first jab because they were fooled, didn't get the boosters because they started to realize, wait a minute, I got played. I think that card is harder to play. I think it's more likely, like General Flynn was saying yesterday, I think it's more likely they'll pull the terrorism card next. Because that'll be the false choice. And you got Palantir, you got Peter Thiel worming his way into the Trump administration through J.D. Vance. He's right there now in the inner circle, and I could see that being his play, is have the terrorist attacks be their excuse for launching the Terminator Land future that they want.
I'm happy to criticize Palantir all day long.
Right.
Criticize Palantir all day, but you've got all the other AI and big police state systems, too.
Sure, but Palantir is the one that's been involved in foreign operations for the U.S. military for targeting, right? That's what they've done for the U.S. military. And now they're starting doing it here at home. So you have police departments now using that same technology here at home for law enforcement. So I just worry. I don't trust Peter Thiel, or they can chuck him. I'm concerned that in his world, he wants that kind of control. And he doesn't really want we the people to be re-energized and strengthened. Instead, he wants that false choice. Well, hey, if you want to protect it from radical communists and Islamic terrorists, the Red-Green Alliance is very real. But use that to then have us be the false choice on the political right, which is more what we got from the neocons.
What do you predict with Mondami?
With Mondami, I think he's going to go full libtard. I mean, he's already that way, right?
He says he's going to seize property.
He might, yeah. So I think President Trump, under the Insurrection Act, when he starts to violate the rights of American citizens, President Trump can step in and use the Insurrection Act and say, you are now either refusing to protect the rights of the American people, or you are directly violating their rights. I'm going to step in and stop you. And he can do that using the U.S. military and the militia, we the people.
What do you think just happened last week with this off-year election, with Democrats sweeping? I saw a lot of election fraud, but also saw a lot of Republican atrophy.
Well, a big problem is across the country, President Trump has been endorsing absolutely horrible candidates, like pro-war, big government neocons that the Libertarian and the Ron Paul Republican.
Well, Governor Cuomo. You wonder why Mondami won. The Republicans didn't push him, but he was the candidate.
Right. So I think across the country, President Trump is losing support in his own base, and the ones that he's picking for candidates are horrible. So the Republican Party has not learned anything. Trump won because the average working man trusted him to be the Molotov cocktail against the establishment. That's what Michael Moore first described President Trump back in 2016, and he was right. That's why he won. And he won in 2024 when we won all three elections, because the average working man believes President Trump has his interest in mind and is really going to fight for we the people. But now, if he's not actually following through on his commitments, he's going to lose his own base support. And they don't like what they see when it comes to foreign intervention in American politics. You know, that is a wedge now, that the Israeli issue has become a wedge inside the political right. And it's something that I never really paid a lot of attention to, but I don't like AIPAC's influence over...
No, I don't either, but it's definitely being used to take the oxygen out of the room.
Well, sure. And but the problem is there's some truth there. There really is a problem, and his base doesn't
want... And then Levin and all them act like such monsters, it adds credence to it.
Right. And so you've got to... I mean, Trump won all those three times because of a massive number of walkaway Democrats like Tulsi Gabbard, Robert Kennedy Jr., but there were other Democrats who left the Democrat Party and walked away, and a large number of independents. I mean, there's more independents in this country registered as independents than there is any other political party. So they're the ones that brought Trump into office all three times. It's the working man independent.
Exactly. He needs to refocus on that. Right. By the way, I forgot to ask, every time you're here, are you on the War Room with Herschel Smith?
I am, later today. That's right.
Good. What time?
I believe I'm coming on right after this, but I want to show you
something. The crew did it. Hold on. Don't leave. I love the crew. But anytime I have a big guest, they're like, hey, boss, we can get a big guest on. Should be on your show first. I'm like, no, I want the other shows that are just as important as mine. Brianna Morello, Harrison Smith. I want the big guest on there. So that's great. So you're on like 3 minutes?
I think so. We're back.
Oath Keepers.
That's right. We're back.
So what's the website?
Oathkeepers.info. And if you want to support the rebuild, if you don't want to be a member directly, you can join. If you don't want to, for whatever reason, you can support us by going to givesendgo.com/oath. And donate to support the rebuild. And
what an important organization.
We'll be in the streets. We're going to put our money where our mouth is.
Credible, real. Whenever a critic says federal militias that are set up, they go, oh, you're against the militia. No, there's a lot of infiltrated fake militias. This is the real way to relaunch the militia. Well, militia is constitutional. I support it. But there have been a lot of that are set ups out there.
Right.
That's why Oath Keepers is the place to go.
Well, I wouldn't call us a militia, though. I think militia is everybody in their community. All your neighbors.
How would you describe Oath Keepers?
I would say we are an association of current and former military and police and first responders.
It's like an intel agency for the militia.
Well, we advocate for defense of the Constitution. We want everyone that ever took the oath, whether they're current serving or not, to honor it by defending the Constitution.
Beautiful. We're out of time.
Right.
And tomorrow night's the last day. One bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue, get a free bottle, get the free murdered out ball cap. I don't know where it is around here. But we got this limited edition InfoWars murdered out black baseball cap on top of it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. One bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue, liquid or tincture, the pills, and get a free ball cap. One bottle, get one free. And that's a huge sale, biggest sale ever. Never did that before. That keeps us on air. But whatever happens to InfoWars, because they're close to shutting us down, we have the Alex Jones Network, and TheAlexJonesStore.com is owned by that and by Big Land. They fund our operations. So support us right now and get great products, TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right, The War Room with Harrison Smith comes up now. Find the feeds at Real Alex Jones. And we're going to have Stuart Rhodes on with them live right now. Thanks, Stuart.
My brother, God bless.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the Info War. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the Ultra Methylene Blue sale, even though it's close to selling out. Don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people, the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of TheAlexJonesStore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, get one free, and the free ball cap right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here. We haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face, bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, TheAlexJonesStore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones